Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I'll let it wash over you. Like, just breathe it in. Soak it in.
Oh,
just
gorgeous.
Revel in it. Just
gorgeous.
It's Friday. Good morning. The weekend is here. It's going to be nice. It's going to be 70s by Sunday.
Thank the Lord. That is great news. By the way, you guys want to text in something great about me? I always just watch some highlights of me dispensing justice back in the 90s.
Woo!
Go ahead, let it breathe, Vinny.
Yeah. Folks, if you need any more evidence that Mark Schlereth loves himself some Mark Schlereth.
Humble and gracious is the words that come to mind.
So, I pull into the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And we've been kind of in sync lately, like arriving close to the same time.
Yes,
so we've
yes.
been walking in together. This time, you must have arrived just before me, so you were waiting near the door. But as I walked up,
mm-hmm.
you have your phone in your hand, and you're like, take a look at this. Not even good morning. Just
yeah.
take a look at this.
Yeah.
And
because I just opened it up and saw it, and I was like, wow.
And he's like, look at me dispensing justice.
Yeah.
And it is. It's you back with the Hogs.
Who'd I wreck?
Bill Romanowski
just
trucked him.
Ran him over. Great. When he was with the Niners and I was with the Washington football team, formerly known as the Skins.
So then we come upstairs. I've got my egg and muffins that I've handed out to everybody.
Right.
And then Mark says, Benny, come here. I want to show you something. Yeah.
Come here. Just in case you've forgotten, I can break your ribs.
All right.
It's a good way to start the morning.
It makes you feel good. Let's see here. Some quick. This is why I love the 6 a.m. texters. They bring it strong right from the beginning. Kudzai from Fort Collins. It's gotten to the point where I get legitimately upset when I hear Karma Chameleon at any other time than 6 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter as much.
It is what kind of sets the tone, for crying out loud. It is a tone setter, as they were.
Screw the haters. I set my alarm on Friday to this upbeat song.
Yeah.
Good.
It's good for you.
John from Jamestown, North Dakota, waiting to see if you guys played Loverboy. Just let me know when you two want me to buy the red leather pants.
That's right. We did figure out a couple weeks ago that was a stunt ass.
It was a stunt ass.
Yeah.
This one, every time you play your little Friday song, I picture both of you sitting in a hammock on the beach somewhere feeding each other grapes.
What's wrong with that?
Love grapes.
Oh, that's, you know what? I totally forgot. Last night would have been the night to do it, but I'm going to do it tonight.
What? What's that?
Vision Quest.
Yes, here's this one. Boys, Vision Quest was on last night, but I fell asleep before Loudon Whip Shoots butt.
Yeah. You can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder.
Well, I've got it on DVD, so, because who doesn't? Everybody should have Vision Quest on DVD.
Here's an 8 a.m. texter. Must be up early. You have to stop. It's not funny or cute, and it's definitely not entertaining.
Okay.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Pay no attention to the 5 or 6 great texts that we got loving what we're doing. We'll act on yours alone, sir.
Holy Grumpy McGrumperson.
Wow, man, it's got to be an 8 a.m.er that's just like forced to get up early.
I don't like the morning.
Has to run somebody out to the airport.
I don't want to be up this early. I hate being up this early. It's still dark out.
Right. Hey, be thankful that you woke up this morning. How about that? I have never understood Cranky McCrankerson in the morning. But you're cranky because you have to be up. Man, I'm thankful to be up every morning. Woohoo! Feet hit the ground. I'm ready to roll.
By the
Come
way.
On.
For all of our listeners, even that one, because I recognize the number and he's a regular, so I appreciate it. On this Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest, heading off into the weekend. Rex Ryan will join us at 6:15. But it can be about anything and everything. All the local teams, Broncos, draft, Avs, Nugs, Rocky, anything. World of sports and beyond. Just give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me on the Rummelslaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. But Is It Just Me? I am so thankful to all of our great listeners, because what a week it's been. Earlier in the week, you and I, once again, nailed down number one morning show in Denver.
Yes.
For the first quarter of 2021.
Yes, thank you.
Continuing our streak. Thank you very much. And yesterday we found out that The Fan was named Denver Radio Station of the Year.
Yes.
Woo!
That and $5 will get you a latte at Starbucks. Did we get anything for that? Did we get like a certificate of participation?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. I was on a show one
you
time.
Guys.
I was on a midday show once that won Best Midday Show in Denver. I think 2 weeks later we're split up.
I want, here's the deal.
Scooty remembers that one.
Here's the deal. I want, and I am adamant about this. Raj, program director, get on this. Otherwise, I'm walking. I want a certificate of participation.
Yep.
If I don't get a certificate of participation, boom,
a
walking.
Certificate of participation, certificate, plaque, ribbon. What are we looking
at? I just want the
trophy.
I just want the
pennant to put up on the wall.
The paper, you can frame.
Right.
Certificate of participation. It's what I made Rick Dennison when he was a special teams coach give me after Jason Elam kicked the 63-yard field goal to set the record. Certificate of participation. Mark Schlereth was the left tackle on the 63-yard field goal that set the NFL record. Made him put out certificates of participation. Every guy on the team got one.
coaches must have loved you.
Oh, Lord,
here comes Schlereth. What does he want now?
I will not line up for another field goal unless I get certificate of participation.
This is the guy who, after you won the Super Bowl, they win the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. They have just won the Super Bowl. They're on the team bus, and Stink is busting Gary Kubiak's onions about a play he called during the game.
A bad play call.
Jeez.
Had to let him know.
Don't repeat that mistake.
Yeah, don't do that again.
Don't lose sight in the wave of euphoria.
Probably the reason we won back-to-back Super Bowls. We want another one next year.
Because he eliminated that play from the playbook.
Yeah, he figured it out.
All right. Rex Ryan joins us coming up next. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. HMotors.com. Ah, we just keep the great FOS guest, friend of Stink guest coming. Yesterday was Thomas Dimitroff. Now it's former Jets coach, Bills coach, ESPN, par excellence analysis, and he is an FOS. He is the one and only Rex Ryan. He joins us now. Good morning, Rex.
How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, Rex, we're doing great, man. First off, tell me about going out and inducting your father. Is it the Oklahoma State Hall of Fame, man? What an unbelievable honor! But tell me about your week a little bit.
Yeah, that's coming up here, Mark. And so you know we're excited. Actually, they postponed it and it moved it back. Actually, now it's going to be Monday when I do that now. But either way, it's going to be great. You know, I wanted to spend more time in Oklahoma anyway.
Uh-huh.
But really it is, you know, it's a great honor for the family and as I remember an old saying one time that when you're really good at something, boy, you tell everybody, but when you're great, they tell you. And this is kind of an example of that.
Yeah, there's no question. As you and I were texting back and forth, I was like, man, it was straight up a pain in the ass playing against your father all those years when he was in Philly and I was in Washington. You guys were just born. Like, you were born to be football coach. You guys were born to be a part of it. I can't imagine what it was like growing up with Buddy Ryan as your father. And I mean, you're destined to be a football coach, I think.
Yeah, I think so, Mark. And when you look at it, you know, with my twin brother still coaching, he's now the linebacker coach with the Ravens. And I actually have a son now that's in his fifth year in the NFL coaching in the NFL. But I don't know what's wrong with the kid. He's a receiver coach with Detroit. He was with the Chargers. But he's, you know, 27 years old and already had 5 years experience in the NFL. So there's something to it, you know, I just thought it was normal, you know, like he was just a normal dad and everything else. But, as influences that a lot of dads have on their kids, especially their sons, is that they follow in the family business, so to speak. And for us, that was coaching football.
Yeah. And then recently I just heard the sound and saw the interview with the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. What's his name, Sirianni?
Nick Sirianni.
Nick yes. Sirianni that uses rock, scissors, paper during Zoom calls to figure out who's got a competitive spirit. You ever use the rock, scissors, paper test, Rex, to see who could play and who can't play?
It seemed like I did that a bunch, but I will say this, Mark, and you know what it is, guys. In today's world, in today's game, if everything's the same, they go with the young player.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's cheaper. You got him for longer. All that. And I know the NFL has done a good job trying to balance it out so some of the veterans can have an opportunity financially that it doesn't burden the other team. But it seems like to me, man, these rosters get younger and younger as you look around the league.
Yeah, you know, you were part of the Jets when you guys traded up for Mark Sanchez. And we're sitting here with George Payton, a new general manager, and they're talking about, you know, trading up and using some, you know, giving up draft capital to move up from 9 to 4 for one of these potential quarterbacks. And, you know, I'm just one of those guys kind of more old school that says you got to build a roster. And most of the guys that you trade up for, you know, 5 guys taking the top 10, the odds are one is going to be really good. The other guys are probably, you know, going to be playing somewhere else in 3 to 4 years. Like, what's your philosophy on that? You've done it. You've been through it. Kind of walk me through what you think about the way the quarterback has just been, in my mind, completely overvalued.
Yeah, the only thing is, you know, Mark, I get it. But if you don't have a quarterback, it is so hard to win in this league. And, you know, I still get criticized for, well, you traded up to get Mark Sanchez. Yeah, I gave up a mid-first round pick and a second round pick and 3 journeyman players. That was hardly, you know, selling put your franchise at risk. That was just like, all right, let's go. Because quite honestly, the second round picks are the ones that are 50-50. If you're drafting in the top 10, you better hit on that pick. And to me, Denver, there's no sense trading up unless you 100% believe from top to bottom in your organization that there's a difference maker to do so. And yeah, if you trade up to number 4, then and you get one of these young quarterbacks, then you think, hey, this, you know, we're going to hit on it for the next 10 years. We're going to have a legitimate quarterback. Then you absolutely go for it. And when I look at Drew Lock right now, this kid's got ability. My problem is I think he lacks the maturity to be a great quarterback. He's very similar to, you know, what you saw in Mark Sanchez some, you know, although we won a hell of a lot more games with Mark at quarterback, but we did it by building, you know, had a really good football team around him. But, you know, I see this kid when they win a game. Boy, you think this guy's like he's running around and like he's, you know, like he won a Super Bowl and it's the third win of the season. Like I can't stand that from this kid. yet he's got the mechanics, he's got the ability, you know, to be an exceptional quarterback. But something seems to be missing there. So I wouldn't blame Denver if they want to trade up and there's a guy there that John Elway and company really believe in, then they're going to go for it. I don't blame them. But I think what they're going to end up doing in the long run, Mark, is do what you're saying. They're going to wait, let the draft come to them. Maybe they trade up with Detroit at pick 7 or something like that. But I think they'll wait. And if the quarterback's not there that they truly believe will be a difference maker, then I expect them to draft a corner, maybe Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn from South Carolina. I think one of those two guys really fit in that defense, and that defense should be nasty. No more excuses. We've seen Vic Fangio do a great job when his team is better than everybody else's, and that's what they're building there in Denver.
Busy with Rex Ryan. Rex, if you're Vic Fangio, working for a new GM, do you feel uncomfortable? Do you feel like you start the season on the hot seat?
Well, I've been there, and you're darn right you do. I actually sold my house I actually bought a house in Tennessee knowing I was going to get fired by the way the GM handled me. I saw what he was doing there, and I wasn't his guy. I could tell that. So you better win. You better find a way to win. Because it's very rare that when a new GM comes that you're all of a sudden you're going to be his guy. That's really rare. I don't see that happen. So we'll see. You know, Vic's a friend of mine. I hope he does well there. But yeah, absolutely. Your butt's hot right now.
You still have that house in Tennessee, Rex?
Oh yeah. I'm living there full time and I love it because we had no state income taxes. And unfortunately now people are getting on to Nashville. It seems like the place to move to.
Yeah, you know what? It's some city, man. I did a couple games there and it was tremendous. Anyhow, hey, listen, man, all the best to you. Always appreciate you. I just appreciate the fact that you answer my texts, man. So I thank you so much. Always love watching you on TV and always love your candid opinion, man. So all the best to you. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, guys, great talking to you. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited about this draft. You're going to have potentially 5 quarterbacks going on the top 10. Should be something.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rex, we'll talk to you later, man. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Yeah, bye now.
Rex Ryan. As one texter put it, is it just me or are FOS segments the perfect time for Evans to go grab a cup of coffee and a smoke? I love it when I give these like grandiose over the top introductions and it gets received with hey Mark, how's it going?
Yeah.
I didn't even get the other guy.
No. Yeah, you don't even get the other guy.
I didn't get some other guy.
No.
All right.
Poor little fella.
That's okay. That's all right. Rex is great. Wow. Some unprovoked commentary
right there
about Drew Lock, huh? All right. We'll get to the morning brew and George Payton and those Avalanche who just take everything in stride next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on!
Yeah, I mean, they're different. You know, both, you know, elite athletes. Both really strong arms. Both really talented, smart. They have all the intangibles you want in quarterbacks and in football players. You know, they're raw a little bit, but really high ceilings for both players.
George Payton talking about Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Do you think that George Payton is more of a Fields guy or a Lance guy?
It's a great question. I would think that... I would think he was more of a Lance guy.
Really? See, I would say more of a Fields guy. Because if you look at his time in Minnesota, when did they ever really have a quarterback that was just a complete raw unknown. Even coming out of college, a raw unknown. I mean, think of the quarterbacks they had. Sam Bradford, proven in college.
He's proven in the NFL,
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know,
garbage.
College. Who are the guys they drafted? Teddy Bridgewater? But that was late in the first round.
It was in the 30s, yeah.
Okay. So I don't, to me, George Payton doesn't strike me as a, I'm just going to bank on potential type guy. I need to see something.
So here's, when I hear him say, both are raw, right? So my thought process there is, I'm not going to draft either of these guys. Both are raw. We don't need raw. We need good football players. So, like, both those guys, to me, feel like they're off the board then, right? Then it would be Mac Jones would make the most sense for you because he's even though he's only played the same number of games as Lance, you know, the perception is he's been around a system for 5 years. He knows what he's doing.
Son of a bitch, dug in like an Alabama tick.
So, I would tell you that it feels to me like I'm not interested in either of these players, but who has the most upside potential if I were to take one? That's where I would go Lance, but, you know, six and one half dozen of another. I just don't think either one of these guys really floats the boat of this franchise at this particular time.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. The start of the game, we looked like we were a little bit sluggish, but I thought the pace of our play and the urgency and determination in our game got better as the game went on.
There's Jared Bednar. Nothing rattles this team. Nothing phases this Avalanche team. Or clearly the coach, who is just... I got to find out if he's got, like, cyborg shell underneath that human skin. I mean, the guy just... But maybe the team takes on the personality, right? Nothing ruffles this team. They're off for a week because of a COVID shutdown. They're without Philip Grubauer. They're without Mikko Rantanen. They're playing a St. Louis team that is desperately fighting for their playoff lives. And the Avalanche just roll into St. Louis to take care of business.
That's how they do it. It's incredible, right? And you're right. I mean, just the... First off, Bednar is just...
Your clothes. Give them to me.
Get the now, hair grease back. Got the Euro suits.
He's got the hair going right now.
It's the Euro.
Got the curls going. I kind
of
like it.
It's the cut of the Euro suit. Like, the thing about the cut of the Euro suit, you always feel like you're going to split your pants when you sit down.
Right?
Like, it does not give you a lot of room to move around. The style now is... Have you noticed, like, on TV and stuff, the style now is everything's super tight.
Yeah.
Like, super tight. Dude, I just don't... Like, I have no desire to have your yarbles squished every time you try to move around.
The funny thing is... You grew into your suit to make it tight.
That's a good point. Damn you. It used to fit...
Was that suit tailored, Mark?
No,
that's just a lot of chips and guacamole.
Yeah, I just noticed. I just noticed that this suit was a little loose in all the wrong areas.
So I thought I'd fill it out. Yeah. Next on the Morning Brew.
Wiggins gets it over to Draymond Green.
Look at Curry run.
Yep. Hand off Curry, takes another three, it's up, and good! He hit it with a guy in front of him and a guy behind him. He's got 62!
Warriors Radio. The Nuggets were off yesterday. They're in Oakland to take on Golden State. I bring this up because it is really looking like it's going to be Nuggets-Lakers in the first round. The Nuggets are 3.5 games ahead of the Lakers for the fifth seed.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers are 2.5 games ahead of the Blazers, who have been struggling, for the sixth seed. The Nuggets are 2.5 games behind the Clippers for the third seed. It just feels like it's going to be Denver-LA. And LA got Anthony Davis back last night. He returned after a prolonged absence. And LeBron is coming back soon as well. Are you worried, concerned, panicked about the likely prospects of a first-round matchup with the Lakers?
I'm not panicked. Am I concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, if AD comes back healthy and LeBron comes back and he's healthy, those are tough matchups. Both of those guys are just athletically, they're size and athleticism matchups, they're tough matchups. So, yeah, it would be, I'm not panicked, but I am concerned.
Got to really be watching closely to see how Davis and LeBron come back, because there's not a whole lot of time to get back and round back into playoff form. So how do they look? Davis played yesterday 17 minutes, obviously on a minute restriction. 2 of 10, 4 points, 4 rebounds, just getting back out there and knocking out Russ. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I really think it's just a ploy by McVay to allow himself the opportunity to take his shirt off again and jump in the pool like he did on Hard Knocks. Probably sip a little rosé, dip in the ocean, and make some draft picks. So I think more than anything, he had that up. So it should be fun to watch.
Listen to Cliff Kingsbury taking some shots at our boy McVay. So last year, with the remote draft sites, Cliff Kingsbury's bachelor pad.
I
mean, that pad that he had with the outdoor fireplace going, I mean, it was one of the highlights of the draft. So the Rams have responded this year, as they're going to be doing their war room is going to be at a beach house.
Mm-hmm.
What should the Broncos do?
Nothing. Low profile.
They're young men, and they have urges.
Just low profile.
Come on, there's got to be something that speaks to Colorado and set up their draft room there to capture the essence of it.
Yeah, what would, I mean, where would they?
Well, I don't know. The NFL's all in with their gambling partners. Why not go all the way?
Go, yeah. Go up to the mountains? Whatever you do, I mean, learn from the mistakes of the past. Don't do whatever it was they did in Mike Vrabel's house in Tennessee.
With the guy in the bathroom?
With the guy.
What were you going to say?
The guy was dropping a deuce. The door. He's a social pooper. I'm a social pooper. I'll leave the door open. It doesn't matter to me. Come on in.
Hey, I want to watch the draft, man.
I want to see who we pick.
How can I watch the draft if the door is closed? We're on the TV in here.
Hey, can you turn it up?
All right. I was fine with just dropping a deuce. I don't need the sound effects. Okay, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up, Cesar Lammy. Is he ready to unveil his one and only mock draft? Or at least give us a clue? Yeah. We'll find out next. I wonder, if Cecil Lammy will give us a hint of what's going to show up in his one and only mock draft prior to the NFL draft. He joins us now. Hello, Cecil.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, good. You know what I call his mock draft? The key.
The key.
Yeah.
He's the gate.
You know, when you used to try to sneak in, remember the Ditto machines and the way they smelled? You try to sneak in and see what the answers were. Let me ask you a question. I'll bet and try to open the teacher's drawer to see if you can find the key.
The Ditto machine.
Do you remember the Ditto? Smelling Ditto fumes.
Smelling the ink.
Yeah, the ink. So who we taking, Cecil? What's going on? Who we taking? Who we got?
Yeah, if you're staying at 9, you're going to take someone like Micah Parsons. Probably not Patrick Surtain. It should be Micah Parsons if you're staying at 9. That's the big if. And I know that everyone wants to play semantics because George Payton said they hadn't called to trade up, but they've talked to people who want to trade back. Yeah, fine. Either way, there's been conversations that would include the Denver Broncos picking higher than the number 9 pick. Now, where do those conversations go? Deals get done at deadlines in the NFL. We all know that. So how does the draft unfold? I think the draft really starts at 4. It kind of starts at 3. But if you think that Justin Fields is going to be the number 3 pick, then it starts at 4. What does Atlanta do? Now, they might want to trade because they'd get a haul for that, especially if a team like Denver had to move from 9 to 4. It's a sizable move, not as big, obviously, as San Francisco did from 12 to 3. But what do? Are they going to go Kyle Pitts? Are they going to go with a young quarterback to groom behind Matt Ryan? Are they going to trade the pick away? Then you have options. If you're the Broncos, if Atlanta takes Pitts and you're the Broncos. Now, okay, it's a little friendlier to trade with Cincinnati. It's not as far up, obviously. Okay, Miami, they have talked about moving again. They've already maneuvered their way around the first round. So you look at the situation, you go, all right, this team doesn't need to assume that one Detroit or Carolina is not going to take a quarterback. So if Atlanta passes on a quarterback at four, and the Broncos haven't moved to four, obviously, it's time to pounce, because Detroit, regardless of what they have with Jared Goff, which may or may not be much, you know, and then you look at the same situation with Carolina and Sam Darnold. Don't assume that those two teams won't take a QB just because they kind of got QBs this offseason. If you're Denver, I think Atlanta passes on a QB at four, it's your time to strike.
Hey, let's just say, for the sake of argument, let's just say that the Broncos sit tight and one of those quarterbacks falls to the Broncos, be it Justin Fields, be it Trey Lance, be it Mac Jones. Do the Broncos take that quarterback? Which one would they, is there one that they would take? Is there quarterbacks they would pass on? Or do you think they're just going to go, hey, man, I want to get, I've got a chance to get a premium player here, either Surtain or Horn or Parsons or whoever the case may be, Penei Sewell, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what would they, what, in your estimation, what would they do? And is there a quarterback? Because I just heard George Payton say, hey, both Fields, he thinks both Fields and Trey Lance in his press conference yesterday are raw. That doesn't necessarily exude confidence in me in a team that is, you know, you can argue is in last place, maybe third place in their own division.
Yeah. And, they're both raw and they're both better than Drew Lock. So what does that say about the Broncos situation? And those would be the two, Stink. Mac Jones, to me, is, I got him graded as a late first-round pick. When I saw him at the Senior Bowl, he looked like a guy that should, you know, move up to 34, something like that. That's the type of player he is. And I understand we have our guys and great men in Troy Rank and Mike Kliss that say they've heard that Mac Jones would be that fit. Nah, I don't see it. If your target is Kirk Cousins or Case Keenum because of the history and Pat Shurmur, like, you should be targeting a little bit higher than that, especially in this division. Do we ever think that Mac Jones in the AFC West would be able to go toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes? Would he be able to go toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert? Probably not. Lance and Fields, they would. So those would be the two quarterbacks that you would look at. Obviously, you have different situations for each one. Fields, to me, is the number two quarterback, even though he's not going to go to. Everyone's fallen in love with Wilson, I think for the wrong reasons. And I like Wilson from the day that I saw, the first time that I saw him. And even a couple of years ago when Wilson was at BYU, you know, he was pretty rough. You know, this last season was much better for him. So I look at it and I go, okay, if you're at nine, Fields or Lance are there somehow, some way, then you're going to grab one of those guys. Regardless of how raw they are, that's the type of quarterback that you can build around, that you can have as a potential franchise quarterback. Mac Jones to the Saints or to the Patriots, that sounds really good. Really good for Jones. But he's more system specific, and I think with Pat Shurmur's system, in my opinion, he doesn't fit. Even though other people are being told, hey, he's what a fit. Like, nah, I think you could find a better fit. And by the way, if you're truly best player available, Mac Jones, he's not BPA at nine. Fields and Lance, they would be more along those lines. Although, you know, if Penei Sewell's there, how is the third best player in this draft not BPA at nine? So we're going to have to wait and see.
When's your mock draft coming out?
It'll be out on Tuesday. So I'm going to spend the entire weekend digging, texting. A lot of teams, I'll say this. One, the Broncos under George Payton are a lot more tight-lipped than they were, you know, under John. Take that for whatever it's worth. The 49ers are a team that I'm usually, you know, pretty on top of what they're going to do. They're being more tight-lipped since they've made that move to three. So
what do you think they're going to do?
I think it's going to be Fields. I thought first it would be Lance. There's part of me that still kind of wants that to happen because I like the idea of Trey Lance with Kyle Shanahan. But it seems like it's going to be Fields again. I'm going to do some more digging and try to find out what's going to happen with this draft. But there's going to be lots of twists and turns. Probably one of the most exciting drafts, I don't know, in the last decade plus. just because we have no idea. And the impact of what San Francisco and Atlanta does at 3 and 4 has a ripple effect through the rest of the draft, especially early on.
All right, listen, I know that the Walking Dead TV show is dead to you, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan did a unbelievable performance in the season finale, Negan's backstory. It was great. Great, great, great.
Okay, they bring Carl back?
Carl!
Right.
No, Carl is dead.
Hey, okay. Let me know when the nerd talks.
All right, thank you, Cecil.
Be good, fellas.
Cecil, see you guys.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Okay, it's an Is It Just Me Friday as we give you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. We'll do that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.